The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
In 1963, James Baldwin published a short work of nonfiction entitled The Fire Next Time. Has anyone here read that book? Anyways, it was written in the midst of the turmoil and tension of segregated America in the 1960s. And these essays were a part of his many efforts to try and help white people understand the ways that black Americans were struggling for their equality. I didn't know this, but even as a youngster, James Baldwin was a prodigious and powerful voice. And his talents were soon recognized by the people in his church. He recounts a season of time that he spent as a teenage preacher with his congregation in Harlem. I can only imagine all of that young talent in the pulpit. It would have been something to see. Baldwin recalls the way that he was drawn into the emotion and the music and the drama of a church service. The way a congregation moved with him when he brought the word. But young adults need time to find their footing. And faith takes time to find its root. Baldwin's moral conscience was still catching up with his religious experience. And that razor-sharp mind of his never stopped taking notes. And there was a growing discomfort in him that would eventually end with him leaving the church. And I'm sure he could have compiled a long list of reasons for finally leaving, but in the end, I think we might summarize his breaking point with this quote. "We were told to love everybody, and I thought that meant everybody. But no, it only applied to those who believed like we did, and it did not apply to white people at all." Jesus said, "But I tell you, I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." Jesus did say a lot of hard things in the Gospels. Pluck out your right eye if it offends you. Sell all that you have. Render unto Caesar. Don't worry about tomorrow. Forgive your brother 70 times 7. Take up your cross. But as far as I'm concerned, love your enemies is the hardest of them all. It's among the most difficult words in all of Scripture. Let's be real, hating on our enemies is such a delicious and natural exercise. These are people that are, by definition, our enemies. That's what makes hating them so satisfying. So justified, so valid and normal and natural. Our enemies are just the worst. And our list of grievances is long and detailed and vivid. We feel it in our bones. Our deep sense of justice demands this. Entire genres of film and literature are built on revenge fantasies. Almost every great adventure story ends with an epic battle and a hero's final struggle, and then the enemy suffers a poetic destruction. The final match of the four nations face-off was just a hockey game until it wasn't just a hockey game. And then with each generation, we tell ourselves that these are especially complicated times. These times, our times. Our enemies are unique. They're cunning and they're dangerous, and we mustn't let our guard down. Even now, talking about enemies, I'm sure you're calling to mind the names and faces of hideous people. People who we know as enemies for good reason. And the record of history, as we read it, it often sides with us. I mean, it usually does seem to side with us. Humankind has committed such egregious sins, and these, our enemies, must be held to task. These are hard words. difficult words. Love your enemies? For centuries now, preachers have struggled with these hard words, hoping to soften the blow. Maybe love your enemies is more like a broad generality, a blanket statement that's connected to an ethereal spiritual reality. We'll finally love our enemies in the next life, but for now, maybe not so much a practical guide for a day-to-day life, love your enemies, but a recommendation that definitely has some wiggle room, margins of error for extenuating circumstances, and of course, we can all think of extenuating circumstances. Let's look on our enemies. Imagine for a moment if these gospel words were just tweaked a little bit, a little different. Maybe Jesus adding an extra verse with a tiny clarifier. And verily I say unto you, of course, sometimes there are certain really nasty people that you are definitely permitted to hate. Amen. Thanks be to God. Would we even recognize that, Jesus? Would those words in any way be life for you and me? Would such a teaching have any power to change or challenge or awaken in us new life in any part of us? Would these words change anything in this world at all? Jesus said, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you?" Most of us actually think we maybe need a little bit of credit for loving our loved ones. Love your enemies. Another tack a preacher could try and take is to take Jesus at face value. Inching as close as we dare to the heat and the flame of those bright and dangerous words. What happens if we apply ourselves to this impossible calling? What if we made it the work of our whole lives to follow this path? Love your enemies? That has the potential to turn us into something otherworldly, revolutionary, vital, different, shaped by something other than the practice of hate and harm and retribution. All the forces that have scarred and burned our world. We might be a people who witness miracles as enemies become friends, as adversaries become neighbors. This is a way of beauty and wonder. This is a risky path, but it's worth giving your whole life to, maybe. Because love for enemies is the only path that the Son of Man could have ever really called us to. The only way to live beyond the pattern of this world. Love for enemies gives us a view of the love that our Creator has for every one of us, every living being. In loving our enemies, we honor their humanity, and in doing so, we honor our own. This is so heavy. What should be so natural feels so unnatural. Where do we even start? In the text, Jesus seems to anticipate this. With a little love your enemies starter pack, he says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If you think about all the weeks of liturgy that we write, how much of the pattern of our worship week after week is formed by blessings like these, prayers like these? How might we give and serve differently? How might we adapt our blessings and our prayers? What is it in the practices of our time that gives shape to a posture of works of love like this? This way of being might become a little less strange to us week after week, more natural and real as children of the Most High, as Jesus says. People shaped by tenacious, brave, transforming love. Enemies turned into friends. First Baptist Church, Edmonton, may we bear witness to such wonders. Maybe some of you have heard of the musician named Daryl Davis. Yes? No? Oh, okay, cool. He's famous for his R&B and blues piano, and he's played with all sorts of people, including Chuck Berry and B.B. King, famous sessional player. He was in the city a few years ago, and Liam McIntyre and I got to go see him. Apart from his reputation as a phenomenal musician, he's also famous for making friends with members of the Ku Klux Klan. Davis takes the risk, time and again, setting up face-to-face personal meetings with people who hate his guts, at least on paper. Over the last three decades, he's befriended over 200 former white supremacists who can now say that they are friends with the black man. Sometimes they even give him their Klan robes to keep as a sign of their transformation. If you're interested, you can look it up. There's a documentary called Accidental Courtesy, Daryl Davis, Race, and America. I would encourage you to check it out. Daryl says, if you spend 5 minutes with your worst enemy, it doesn't have to be about race. It could be about anything. You will find that you both have something in common. A year or so ago, while scrolling through Instagram, I happened upon a post that had been reposted many times, and it still resonates with me. Pardon me, I think I need a little schwell here. I'm hanging in there, we got this. There we go. I was passing the page of the acclaimed poet and comedian and public speaker and actor Alok Vatmenon, known professionally as Alok. Alok is a gender non-conforming trans person of South Asian descent who speaks and presents about a broad range of topics from racism and stereotypes and hatred and violence towards trans people. The Instagram post shared a comment on a photo from Alok's page. I printed it off here. It reads, I wish there was a puke react button. I use it on all of your photos. I might struggle reading this, honestly. Alok's response in the internet page is truly moving. Alok says, I wish you peace. Your projection is not my reality. I release myself from your shame and choose my joy. I'm sorry that we've been taught to view the medicine as poison and the poison as medicine. What's disgusting is not my appearance, but rather the way that you treat yourself. And by extension, me. I love you more than you could ever hate me. Okay, I got this. Friends, by this point in this sermon, I've shared a few examples. People talking about taking the love of their enemies seriously, vital, beautiful, dangerous love for enemies. And two of those people would not even identify as Christian, at least not in the sense that you might think. How might we, good Christian folk, on a Sunday morning, be challenged to live into these hard words of Jesus? This is our scripture, after all. These are the texts which form our faith. We who call ourselves followers of Jesus. And so, in closing, I suggest a spiritual exercise for us this morning. Can you at home and those of us in the room sit for a minute and close our eyes and call to mind that person who set fire to our church building. Imagine them even now walking somewhere on these city streets, going about their day. Can we pray a silent prayer of blessing for them? A blessing on the path of their days? A blessing for their troubled heart and mind? Prayers for their health and well-being? Gather up these prayers, O Lord. Amen. First Baptist Edmonton, may we know such changes in our own hearts. May we find life in this way of care and mercy. And may we be shaped as a people by this same wild and dangerous and beautiful love. Amen. Thanks be to God.